For 1,500 miles south from communist China, a mountainous strip of land relieved by the wide swampy plains of the Mekong Delta hugs the coast of Indochina. The 17th parallel divides North Vietnam, held by the communists, from the non-communist South. But as their infiltration into South Vietnam has persisted, communist insurgency has become a problem which the Vietnamese government has found difficult to handle. They move in across the 800-mile border with Laos and Cambodia, or by sea along 1,000 miles of coastline. Here the communist sanctuary is just across the river. The sign on the bank and a blare of loudspeakers invite loyal Vietnamese to join the insurgents. Two-thirds of South Vietnam is mountainous jungle. From Saigon south are the rich rice lands of the Mekong Delta. In area, Vietnam is about the size of our state of Missouri. Some 15 million people live there, and about 1 million of these are refugees from the communist north. About 800,000 are mountain tribes who live by burning off small jungle plots, farming them a few years, then clearing new plots near their village. Transportation in this area is difficult and dangerous. Roads are few. They are passable in the dry season. But during wet weather, they are almost impassable. Villages are small and isolated. The wants of the people are easily satisfied by the land, but all too often they are forced to share what they have with the Viet Cong. About the only practical way to protect the people is in a village like this one. Or this one. Some must be moved to more defensible areas. Fortunately, this happens to less than 10% of the people. The principal areas of Viet Cong strength are shown by the red areas on this map. The Delta region, with its rice paddies and scattered dwellings, is the breadbasket of South Vietnam. The people who live here are quite vulnerable to guerrilla attacks. The larger cities are less of a problem, although undoubtedly infiltrated by the Viet Cong and split by divided loyalties. There are many prospering communities outside Saigon, which help form a solid base for a prospering, stable nation once the communist insurgency is defeated. The Delta area is not only the economic backbone of the country, it is also the most harassed by the insurgents. This area, with its canals, swamps, and scattered hamlets, satisfies the basic requirements of guerrilla warfare. The guerrillas find refuge, food, and assistance among those who can be influenced by persuasion or fear. Mao Zedong has said, "The people may be likened to water and the troops to the fish who inhabit it." But who are Viet Cong and who are not? Could they be the husbands, sons, or brothers of some of these women? Or some of these Montagnard tribesmen? Or these workers at Dinh Hoa? All are Vietnamese. They differ only in their loyalties. They may work by day and join the guerrillas by night. All the men you see here were Viet Cong. They were won over to the loyalists. The virtual impossibility of identifying the Viet Cong is one of the most difficult of all defense problems. Guerrilla leaders are fully aware that, to quote Che Guevara, "Without the support of the people, the guerrilla cannot win." But how do you win the loyalty of a family like this, which lives under a constant threat of annihilation? In these isolated homes, their security may depend upon the cooperation which they give to the guerrilla forces. An important objective is to deny the support of these rural people to the Viet Cong. Insecurity, danger, and war is a way of life for these children. The new Rural Life Program is one of several counterinsurgency measures taken to improve this situation. The relatively few who live in areas like this must be moved with all their belongings to areas where some degree of protection can be provided. These people account for perhaps 10% of those in the New Life hamlets. Some, like this mother and her children, or this itinerant woodcutter from Dalat, are refugees. Some 150,000 Montagnards have sought refuge in government-controlled areas. Others may have been moved to a hamlet by the government for strategic reasons. The new Rural Life Program helps to protect loyal Vietnamese, deny aid to the Viet Cong, isolate and destroy the Viet Cong, promote nation-building attitudes. This model shows a well-developed defense system around the hamlet, the moat, stake fence, barbed wire, and a few well-guarded entrances. There is a watchtower and radio sender-receiver system inside most hamlets. 90% of the hamlets are created from existing hamlets. New hamlets are located where they can be easily defended. The rice paddies and most other means of subsistence are near the hamlet. In case of attack, the workers find refuge inside the hamlet defensive barriers. Some of the hamlets have military equipment. Most do not. New hamlets are laid out by people trained for the job. Experienced work crews help the new residents to build it. Hamlet residents may be refugees or whole village population who must be moved to a new location. But most often, only a few have moved far from their original homes. The people bring what they have, which isn't much. For most of them, this is the start of a new way of life. Many of them may be confused and apprehensive, but at least they have some degree of security. Order comes out of chaos as experienced crews work with the people to build the hamlet. The Agency for International Development of the State Department furnishes some of the building material and supplies, but most of a hamlet is labor, and all can contribute a share in building it. This is a typical new hamlet nearing completion. Established hamlets usually have a marketplace where cloth and other necessities may be obtained. The principal barrier around the hamlet is often a moat. This is one of them in dry weather, with concealed traps to impale invaders on sharpened bamboo stakes. In wet weather, the moat and bamboo stakes are even more effective. The Viet Cong, however, do get through even defenses like this and cut through the barbed wire. Nevertheless, all serve to delay penetration by the invaders. Usually, there is an escape tunnel in case the enemy breaks through before help arrives. All hamlets have a watchtower. The basic idea of the hamlet is to protect against small penetration groups or to delay larger units. When guerrillas are observed, the guards in these watchtowers radio for military assistance. They also warn the people who may be working outside the hamlet when the guerrillas strike. Some hamlet citizens serve as militiamen, while others work in the rice paddies or at other tasks. Able-bodied men are trained to become the hamlet militia. Vietnamese military men, with the help of American advisors, train the men in military tactics. Military instructors give class demonstrations and individual instruction in the use of firearms, how to operate radio sender receivers, and walkie-talkie radios, and in the establishment and maintenance of security measures wherever the hamlet may be. The Vietnamese carry out these defense measures. This is the makeshift outpost of a Vietnamese scout whose duty it is to warn of guerrilla activity in the area. But hamlet defense must be supplemented by adequate airstrips, aircraft of various types, and other tools of modern warfare to carry out the more traditional type of operations. Patrolling and incursions into Viet Cong territory can prevent the buildup of forces which could overwhelm hamlets, and sometimes tanks are able to bring reinforcements quickly to aid beleaguered hamlets. It is the paramilitary forces and the foot soldier who make up the task forces for hamlet protection outside the walls. These units must be ready at all times to answer a call for help. They are transported by helicopter to the besieged area. The conflict is psychological as well as military. It is a conflict for the hearts and minds of the people. It is in this sphere that the Agency for International Development, AID, makes its contribution. Educational and informational materials, posters, booklets, news sheets, and equipment such as this battery-operated radio are used to help the people understand national objectives. Education has special significance in the new Rural Life Program. This three-room schoolhouse was built by hamlet citizens with the help of government and American aid. In a year and one half, the Agency for International Development helped the Vietnamese to build over 900 classrooms and train more than 1,000 teachers. Education is a weapon, and the hamlets help to make it effective against the Viet Cong. Adults, too, are learning how to plan and manage hamlet affairs. They elect their own community government. This is a new experience for most of the hamlet citizens. Young people participate in such things as the Vietnamese version of our 4-H Club. The Agency for International Development's agricultural advisors work with and support these activities. Young women learn about balanced diets, how to prepare meals of greater variety and better taste. The protection of the health of hamlet residents is a constant concern of the Vietnamese government. Inoculations prevent the spread of disease. The Agency for International Development has provided medical supplies for treating over 500,000 patients in remote areas. District and province towns have clinics like this to which hamlet people can be sent by health workers. There is still an acute shortage of competent Vietnamese doctors. The need to grow more food and in greater variety encourages farmers to try new planting methods. They learn by experience how fertilizing the soil results in more abundant crops. This is a new variety of sweet potato from Taiwan, which increases yields up to 500%. American advisors give technical guidance in the development of new crops, better farming methods. In these and many other ways, they contribute to the long-term development of the Vietnamese economy and help the government prove its concern for the welfare of the people. The size of the rice crop is a critical factor in maintaining the economy. Better seed, supplied through joint government and AID programs, helps to increase the yield. But for people who must live while they fight, American surplus food is often the factor that keeps them going. AID has distributed 25,000 tons of wheat and 6,500 gallons of cooking oil. The American technician is an appreciated member of the hamlet, whatever his role may be. One of them developed this smokehouse, which utilizes coconut hulls. It helps to solve the problem of preserving meat and fish. Others have helped to provide potable water to the hamlet. They've drilled more than 1,400 wells. The village pump is a symbol of American assistance in hamlets all over the country. This fish pond was a self-help project in one of the hamlets. The changeover from this native hog to this improved type is another example of American assistance. The pigs are inoculated to prevent cholera and other diseases. This pig will get good care. But no one can forget that the country is at war. But behind this shield of military activity is a battle of far greater significance. It is the conflict to win the hearts and minds of the people, to win their loyalty and understanding by increasing educational opportunities, improving individual and community health, training young farmers in improved methods to increase crop yields, providing them with pure water, better livestock, helping them to achieve the security of a normal life. The people need this evidence of concern for their welfare and the knowledge that their government, with the help of the American people, will give them a future in the free world. This is our purpose.